God, you're so good. You're the greatest giver of all. And you know what? You would do well. Every Christian would do well that when they give unto God, they would remember that he's the greatest giver because he's the one who saved us. He believes in grace. For by grace, you are saved. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome to the Monday broadcast of Love Never Fails. We pray that you had a restful weekend, and now you're ready to continue Pastor Bill's study in the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. Today, Pastor concludes the message, The Joy of Generosity, Part 2. Now let's join Pastor.
What was the good work that the Macedonian churches and the church at Corinth were about to do? They were going to give to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Amen? That was their good work. Now listen, I pray in the name of Jesus that you look deeply into this verse because it teaches this, that Christian giving affects life. All life. It's unbelievable. Man, this is true reaping bountifully in verse 8 right here. It says, all grace abound. That literally means that God gives an abundant measure of whatever is needed to you. God's grace, I don't know if you know this or not, it says where sin abounds, God's grace much more or super abundantly abounds. But do you know that God's grace is absolutely inexhaustible? It can never be exhausted. Do you understand? He's the God of all grace. And he says right here in his word, he says, you know what? I want you to have all, it says, what is it? All grace abound towards you. Every favor, every blessing, everything that is in Christ Jesus our Lord is yours. Co-heirs with Christ. You have an inheritance in heaven. You're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God's not going to abandon you, loved one. It says always having all sufficiency. That's not self-sufficiency. That word, it means the sufficiency within, meaning Christ Jesus is our self-sufficiency. Amen? Now, with all that being said, it says, and always having. What does that mean? What you need, when you need it. Doesn't mean you're going to be rich, okay? Whatever you need. So the result of right giving with the right heart, love one equals an abundance of the measure of God's grace toward you. That's the lifestyle of a cheerful, giving believer when he gives unto God. Now listen carefully. Why does he do this? It says for the abundance of every good work, every kind of work. Ephesians 2:10, we were created for good works. Amen? This is so important because you see, every believer is a channel for God's grace to others. Just what you are. When you walk out of here this morning, you have to remember that you are indeed a channel, if you will, of God's grace to everyone that you meet. And you know what? It takes cheerful hearts, meaning giving their money, okay? Does it take money to spread the gospel? Of course it does. Does it take money to feed the poor, to clothe children, and so forth? Absolutely. And that's what we do. But a cheerless heart doesn't do anything. Cheerless hearts don't give. It says, again, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now listen to me. It doesn't say that he will. It just says that he's able. Boy, that's a very important word. There are conditions. Remember where there is doctrine, when you find doctrine in the Word of God, then there also has to be practicing or the practice of that doctrine. Amen? If you don't sow, are you going to reap? No, of course, that's exactly what the thing. You have to sow the right way with the right motive if you expect God to bless what you've given. That's why this the Word of God is so wonderful. Man, if God supply, if you're lacking right now, I'm not saying being rich, I'm saying just lacking. Maybe you ought to examine the way you're sowing and giving unto God. Because see, this is God's economy, not our economy. Amen? See, we're in on his economic system. It doesn't matter what nation that you live in. Well, America is prosperous. Well, I don't know how prosperous we are. You know what I mean? Really? No, loved one, we're Christians and we belong to the Lord. We want to be aware that the world doesn't teach us how to give, because the world doesn't give a thing. The world doesn't believe a thing, and this world is passing away. Verse 9, as it is written, and Paul's going to quote Psalm 112, verse 9, and you ought to read that later. He who is dispersed abroad, now meaning that's a picture of someone sowing seed like a farmer, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures how long? Forever. Now listen, this is not a right standing or a righteousness based because, well, I gave and so forth. No, no, no. Loved one, this means that when we do these things, our heart is right toward others. Our heart is right toward God. It says, he has dispersed abroad. That word literally from another translation would read this way. He has scattered far and wide, everywhere, all over the world, and gives generously. That's the opposite of giving grudgingly and sowing sparingly. So I would encourage you to read that Psalm 112. Now watch this. Now God, or he, who supplies seed to the sower. Okay, you're going to go plant something. God says, here it is. Here's your seed. Look what he does. He provides or supplies the seed to the sower, the believer, and bread for food. Look what he does. Will supply, and watch this word, multiply the seed you have sown. You're not sowing flowers, are you? No, you're sowing, you're giving unto the Lord of your finances. And look what it says, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, there's that word again. Not only does God provide your financial needs, okay, but what this word righteousness means in context is that you have open-handedness to others. You're there to love people, to the poor. You show mercy. Now, listen, everything that we have, whether you believe it or not, comes from God. Everything. And we're only stewards, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're middle, whatever you want to call yourself. Loved one, we are stewards. And now listen to me. If there is no seed, there is no crop. Does that make sense? If you don't sow the seed, there cannot be a harvest in your life. That's exactly what this means. If you believe the incredible truth of verse 10, that when you give with the right motive, when you give unto the Lord and that money is used to help the poor, or you give to the poor, whatever it is, and you give with the right heart, that's a cheerful heart, not a grudgingly, not, oh, I got to do this, or guilt or pressure. No, here's what happens. God multiplies what you have given. Now listen, again, it doesn't mean you're going to be rich. You're already rich in Christ. All things are yours, the Bible says. Amen? Okay. But it does mean one thing, that you will always have enough. And sometimes enough doesn't seem like a lot, but you'll always have enough. And let me say one other thing. Christian, it doesn't mean you're not going to ever suffer. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have hard times. It doesn't mean you're not going to have lean times or sad days or hard years or a broken heart or never be persecuted. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is that you never, ever, ever, ever have to be afraid to be a cheerful giver. Whatever you've purposed in your heart, whatever it is, I can give $5 to the Lord cheerfully. Praise the Lord then. $6, it would be grudgingly. But Starbucks charges more than that. But, you know, no. See, God supplies the seed. We sow the seed cheerfully that God provides. And what does God do? He multiplies our seeds over and over and over. It's incredible. The Bible says in Psalm 37:25, David cries out. He said, hey, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous, those that are in Christ, forsaken. He says, nor his descendants begging bread. That was David's testimony, and that should be our testimony as well. Jesus will never forsake you. Like you heard me say a million times, because I read that scripture from Hebrews 13 and the Amplified so often, he will never relax his hold upon you. No, never. Three times, I will never, I will never, I will never give you up or leave you without support. Praise God, that's a word of God, man. I say, oh God, you are so good. And then in verse 11, now watch this, while you are made rich or enriched, meaning an abundant provision, a full supply, while you are enriched in not a few things, but in everything, and here's the purpose, for all liberality, meaning generosity of every kind, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. We receive from God in order to give, not to hoard, okay? No, the result of God multiplying the seed that he has given unto us, and we take a part of that seed and give it back to the Lord, the results of that is that he multiplies it. Why? So we can be generous to other people through the church or whatnot. Does that make sense? That's what the Word of God does. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack. That word means never want. That is a promise from God. He says, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Verse 12, for the administration of this service, say that word service, service, very important word. It means priestly service, okay? It says, for the administration of this priestly service, not only supplies the needs of the saints, meaning those in Jerusalem, and of course here as well, but also in the overflowing or abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Our priestly service. Listen, the greatest act of worship that a living sacrifice can give unto God is to give. To give like God is the greatest giver of them all. Ephesians 5:1 tells us to be imitators of God as dear children. Man, listen, God is the greatest giver that has ever, ever been and still is. Listen, grace always looks for an opportunity to give, loved one. Verse 13, and while through the proof of this ministry, or you could say the evidence that our priestly ministry supplies, they, again, I'm sorry, but this is a very difficult rendering in Greek, the construction of it. That's why I'm giving you an additional understanding here. It says, so the proof of this ministry that they, that means the poor suffering saints in Jerusalem, glorify God, now watch, for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? It means the Corinthians' confession when they asked Christ Jesus to be their Lord, okay? And for your liberal sharing with them, again, the saints in Jerusalem and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace, the grace that's above all measure, of God in you, thanks be to God. That word thanks is grace again. Remember, grace is used 10 times in these two chapters, 8 and 9. Thanks be to God for his what kind of gift? Indescribable. That word is only used here in the New Testament. Indescribable means absolutely inexpressible. In other words, it can't be fully declared. It means that human words are just completely inadequate to express the worth, the magnificence, the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it means. He is our gift. He is the gift of all gifts. That's who Jesus is. Oh, man, I look at that and say, oh, God, you're so good. You're the greatest giver of all. And you know what? You would do well. Every Christian would do well that when they give unto God, they would remember that he's the greatest giver because he's the one who saved us. He believes in grace. For by grace you are saved. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord for that. So where are we at now? We've come completely full circle. Takes us back to chapter 8, verse 9, okay? About how he came to this planet. Jesus came to this planet. He left heaven, you know, became poor so we might become rich. And that doesn't mean millionaires, okay? It might mean that, but it doesn't mean that, just so you'll know. Now, not only that, this gift, Jesus Christ, comes from an indescribable, unbelievable, over-the-top love. John 3:16, for God so loved. And what did that love do? He not just loved people in the world. He so loved, for God so loved the world that he gave. Grace-giving, he gave his only begotten, unique, unbelievable Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have absolute everlasting life. The Bible says in 1 John 4:9, it says, in this his love was manifested. It says toward us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we should live through him. And it also comes from an indescribable, unbelievable, inexpressible sacrifice It says in Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates. That word demonstrates means proves. But God proves his own love that while we were yet sinners, meaning enjoying our sin, loving our sin, separated from him, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have the joy of generosity? Are you a cheerful giver? If not, I'm asking you, why in the world would you not be? I mean, there's not a demand upon it, but every person should be a giver. Every Christian should be a giver. I want you to look back now, and let me just say a few things to you this morning. And look back at verse 7. It says, let each one, that's every believer, give. How does he do it? As he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, okay? It says, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Today is Mother's Day. When I woke up yesterday in the middle of the night, you know, I was thinking about, Lord, do you want me to have a Mother's Day message like I've done the whatever? Or do you want me to stay in this chapter? And then all of a sudden it came into my heart as I was there in the bed in the middle of the night about being a mother, being a woman. And if there's ever been a chapter in the Bible, in the New Testament, that describes a mother, it's right here. And I looked at that and I said, dear Lord, look at that definition of a mother. A mother, and most women, I might add, are cheerful givers. Come on, men. Are they not? Oh, listen, that's the mothers can be defined as having in their heart the joy of generosity. Why do you say that, Bill? I'll tell you why I say that. It's because mothers will do without. They'll suffer for their children. They'll fight for their children. You touch one of their kids, they'll get you. Oh, they will sacrifice. They will, listen, they won't buy themselves a thing to make sure children have things. They'll weep. They'll cry. They'll pray over their children. I know single mothers and mothers that are married. They work two jobs. Why? They're children. They're providers. They're cheerful givers. And not only that, mothers would lay down their lives if need be for their children. Man, if there's ever been a chapter about motherhood and about giving, I mean, a cheerful giver, if that's not the definition of a mother, then I must be insane. And here's what came to my heart as I was upon that bed that night, and I wrote it down. I said, here's what I said. If the church of Jesus Christ and the living God, if the church would give like mothers, cheerfully. If the church would love like mothers. If the church would care like mothers. Sacrifice like mothers. If they would pray like mothers. If they would serve like mothers. If they would be faithful and dependable like most mothers and most women in the church are today. You know, they make sure, whether the husband does or not, they make sure that their children are in service in church. They bring them while maybe they're watching the Cowboys or something. Do you understand? I'm not beating you guys up, guys, but I, whatever. If the church would give like mothers and do all the things I just said, love, pray, sacrifice, serve, faithful, dependable, if they would do that, we would win this city in 1 week. Did you know that? Not only that, if the church was like the mothers that are cheerful givers, not only that, every child would go to Haltom Christian School free. Not only that, not one person would be in debt in this church. You like that? Not only that, we would own our own assisted care facility to take care of our elderly if everyone gave like mothers give. And not only that, we would never lack one thing. Why? because mothers are cheerful givers. Now, where are all the men? Why is it that right now, as never before, women are taking the lead because they have to? They're serving, they're working, they're planning, and now they are even becoming, unfortunately, the spiritual leaders of their home. Men, you better come on now and be the spiritual leader of your home. Do you know what the fifth commandment is? Remember the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment? It says in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother. It says, and your days will be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. That's repeated again in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. It's also the first commandment with a promise in the Word of God. It says to honor your mother. You know what that wonderful word honor means? It means to treat, that children should treat their mothers like an ornament. That's what it means. It means a treasure. They're like a treasure. That's what the Word of God says. You know, I never had the blessing of a mother or a father, really, knowing them. As a matter of fact, today is May 12th, Mother's Day. In 1963 was the day my mother was killed in a car wreck, hit head-on by two drunk drivers in Grand Prairie. You know, but I never knew them very well. I don't really know. I'm sure they told me that they loved me, but I don't know that they did, but I'm sure they did. But I can honestly say I don't think I honored them, and I wish I had of. It's important to love your mother. You know, to treat them like treasure, to really love your mother, is a glorious thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his father, he curses his mother. You know what? His lamp is going to be put out in the darkness. Proverbs 30, verse 11, there's a generation that curses its father, curses its mother, and it doesn't bless the mother at all. We live in a strange time. I want to tell you something this morning on this Mother's Day. I preached a message, a series called Illusion or Reality. I don't know how long ago, maybe 2 years or three. I can't remember when I do things. But I know this, I preached it. And one of them, I was saying about be prepared for the church, the Christian, to be prepared for persecution. I don't know if you listened to Vice President Pence's speech to the university, Christian University, or not this week. But you know what he told them? He said, you're Christians. And when you walk out of this university, he said, you must be prepared to be persecuted like never before. He said, because persecution has now arrived in our nation to the Christian. He said, Hollywood hates Christians. He said, the left hates Christians. Loved one, you know what? We are the light of the world. This is a day when we need to be prepared, but we also need to be prepared to do what the Word of God says. Honor your mother. Call her today, your grandmother, whoever it might be. Amen? You know, my sister raised me, and I talked with her last night. You know what I'm saying? Thank God she took me in when I was 14. That's the only mother I've known. Good, hard, core, mean. She is. But man, she knew how to straighten Billy out. Father, we thank you on this wonderful day. I pray, Lord, from my heart to the mothers' hearts of this service and those who are listening, I bid them an incredible, wonderful, happy Mother's Day. For I do know that most, the majority, 99% of all mothers, they are indeed cheerful givers. Thank you for mothers, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. We love you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Bill's study in 2 Corinthians will continue on our next broadcast, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for beginning your week with us. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.